Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on the Inside Analog Photo radio program, we're going to have with us Neil Carpenter. Neil is a full-time professional photographer out of Macon, Georgia. He currently photographs about 25 weddings a year. He does portrait work. He's been shooting digital, but guess what? He's converting over to film. So this is going to be a great story about somebody that has shot film, went completely digital for years, and now is coming back to the analog side. Neil, how are you doing today?
Very well. How are you, Scott?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photography. Great to have you on the program to talk about yourself, your photography, your moving back to film, and all this beautiful stuff you're working on, Neil. So tell us about Neil. You're in beautiful Macon, Georgia. Tell me what you're doing, buddy.
I'm a portrait and wedding photographer, and over the last couple of years, I've been trying to simplify my life, and I've done several things to get there, but one of them was deciding to go back to film. I shot film years ago and then transitioned with everybody else, and have just longed for simpler times, so I'm working on getting back there as quickly as possible.
So tell me how you got into photography. What got you the bug here to say, you know, I want to be a wedding photographer?
My dad had cameras when I was a kid growing up, and he was in the Navy, and he would get shipped off places, take beautiful slides, and that's what we got to see when he would come home, to sort of live vicariously through him. So I remember looking at his slides from Iceland in the summer, and it was like an alien planet. So I got my first camera from my aunt as a graduation present. It was an old Sears camera, but it was made by Ricoh. Started using that and really enjoyed it, and sold that and bought a Canon A1 program, and have just sort of been stuck on that ever since. But I'd always wanted it to be a hobby, so I went to college to do lots of other things and finally became disillusioned with all of that and decided that photography was a much better way to go about making a living.
No, I think photography is fun, and you can make a good living if you do it correctly. You're shooting roughly 25-plus weddings a year, plus you're shooting portraits and kids and doing some other cool stuff here. Tell me about your transition from when you originally started on film to digital and where you're going now.
Well, I shot film till about 6 years ago and then switched to digital with everybody else and was really intoxicated by the options and the control and all that kind of stuff and spent more days and hours than I can remember learning Photoshop and all of that. But I just, in the last few years, have realized I was working sort of too much behind a computer and working too hard trying to make things look the way I wanted them to look, which is the way I remember it looking when I was shooting film. And so I decided that I needed to simplify things. So several things I've done with that. One was sort of limiting the scope of my business to really devote to portraits of young children and weddings. And then going back to film, I found that it was so much easier. I think I had forgotten how easy it used to be to put the film in the bag and ship it off to the lab, and we would get back proofs, and you'd be done. And that was a really wonderful part of being a photographer back then. I had become a digital imaging expert rather than a photographer. So between buying a Polaroid camera and working with another photographer who was shooting film, I decided I can do this. I can go back to film. I can do something interesting. I can be a photographer, spend less time behind a computer, and enjoy what I do for a living more than I was then.
So what have you found? And I noticed this today. I was looking over a friend of mine's recent wedding shoot that he just put up on their client preview site. And I'm looking at these images, and just digital is so, I don't know, it's too much. It's too stark.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to it that just doesn't look right. It's not saying all of it is, maybe just the way these guys shot it with too much flash. But what have you found on the look of your photography now that you've been transitioning back to an analog capture?
Well, one of the things, I'd become sort of intoxicated by contrast and saturation. And I never, I don't think, pushed it as far as some people would. But I got where I was liking way too much contrast and way too much saturation. And it's sort of unnatural. The world doesn't look that way. And that's what I started to feel and see in my work, was that it had a little too much pop. It was a little too much. And when you look at the natural world, it doesn't look like that. So film gives me the opportunity to create an image that, to me, looks more like the way I remember it. It's not necessarily so idealized and so overworked and so fine-tuned and overprocessed. It's like you squeeze the life out of it. And so, to me, I can shoot an image, I get it back, and it reminds me of what I experienced, rather than the sort of idealized, contorted version that I created in my computer.
Let's let people go to your blog and look at what you're doing here on film. So give us this address so people can go look at this while they're listening to it and sort of see what we're talking about, so they can actually get a grasp on what's happening here.
Oh, sure. So I started a new blog just for this transition. Thanks to a friend of mine, Teddy Madison. He suggested I chronicle all this. And so it's called Neal's Rewind. So it's NEALSREWIND.blogspot.com. So NealsRewind.blogspot.com.
So Neal, tell me what you've been shooting digital, and then let's get into talk about what kind of gear you're using for your analog capture.
So digital has always been Canon. Right now, my primary digital body is a 1D Mark III, which I like a lot. But for film, I've primarily been using Mamiya 645 AF with the 82A. It's so nice. It works. It's easy. It's as uncomplicated as I know how to make that. I'm also using a variety of old random cameras that I've picked up. I have old Zeiss Icon stuff. I have a Zeiss Icon 6x9 that I really like. Old Nikon manual focus. Canon autofocus, like a Canon A2 that I got recently, I really like. And then I have a Polaroid 600 SE that I'm using. Generally, I'm posting a Polaroid image or two or three or four the day after or a couple days after the session while I'm waiting for the film to come back from the lab.
Isn't the Fuji Instant stuff just incredible?
It is. And actually, that's another thing I have now is a Fuji Instax 210. And I've just started working on a new product, which I'm calling an Instant Guest Book, what is sort of like the craze with the photo booth, and merge it with a guest book. And so we shoot Polaroids of couples at the reception and then put them into an album, and they're able to sign and write notes and well wishes for the couple. And it's something the couple doesn't really get to see until they get back from their honeymoon. But we just did one Saturday night, and it turned out really, really well. And so that'll be on the blog tomorrow. I'm really, really excited about the way that turned out.
So you're just using a self-stick album and just putting the Instax wide format Instant in there and rolling with it?
Yeah, it's from Colo. It's a scrapbook. And put the prints in there fine with archival pins, so it should last for many, many years.
Wow, that's a great idea. And how do you like working with the Instax 210?
It's very cool. It's a big image. I mean, I'm kind of shocked every time it comes out. It's nice. There's a certain familiarity, like using a Polaroid 600 back in the day, but it's nice to be able to have that instant gratification. And the guests really like it. I mean, there was quite a crowd gathered around that sort of table at the reception Saturday night. And I think people really enjoyed that sort of instant getting to see their prints right away.
Yeah, definitely. So I shot a wedding a few weeks back and definitely grabbed a bunch of images with my Mamiya Universal. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. I mean, that was the biggest deal when you could just peel it open and hand the bride, here's a picture, check this out. And they're like, whoa. And they almost trashed the stuff because they had so many fingerprints on it.
Right. I shot a commercial job a few months back, and the very first thing I did was shot a single Polaroid, Polaroid 600 SE, and gave it to the client because he was a little uncertain about shooting film, but I talked him into it, and he agreed. But I showed him that 3x4-inch print the very first thing, and he was sold. He was on it from that moment. He knew. And so just through the course of the afternoon, I'd pull a Polaroid every new setup and hand it to him. And he'd walk around and show it to everybody in the room, like, oh my God, look at this, look at this. So I found it was really nice to help build confidence with the person I'm photographing and with the client in that case.
So what's your thoughts about shooting a whole wedding with your Polaroid?
I'd probably need 2 or 3 assistants for that. One of the things I've mentioned a couple times on my blog is I had heard on Inside Analog that they were self-terminating, that you didn't have to peel them right away. And so I've been experimenting to see how long I could leave them. And I've gotten 6 hours with no problems. I did 12 hours this weekend, and that didn't work out. But the thing I've done is that I shoot the Polaroid, and I put it in a bag and don't even peel it. Unless I want to show the bride for some reason, I don't even peel it. I just put it in the bag and keep going. And that has made it a little easier and a little more manageable, because the problem was that if I peel it, I have a wet print, and I got to keep up with the wet print, and what do I do with it? And so I just decided, never mind, I'll leave them together, and at the end of the wedding, then I peel them all apart. And that has actually worked really, really well.
It does. They are self-terminating. What's cool, as long as you peel them before the goo dries out, you're cool.
Right.
What happens, like you said, you wait so long, you start getting more of like goo drying on the print, and it never really washes out right. You can sort of fix it, but you're best to get it before the goo dries out. And I'm sure where you're at, where it's so humid, the stuff, like,
yeah,
you said, 6-8 hours, it's great.
Yeah, if I was in the desert, this would not be a good plan, but here I can get away with it.
I did try that. I was in Virginia City once shooting in the graveyard, and it was like 1% humidity probably. And the wind was blowing like 40 miles an hour. And man, those prints dried out like in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'm like, no, it was a bummer.
Yeah.
So like you said, if you had to go shoot a gig, even if you were trying to peel the stuff, you'd have to have 2 or 3 people helping.
Right.
Trying to stick prints and wax paper or somehow to lay them out. So I like the idea, especially where you're at, where you can just shoot them, stick them in a Ziploc bag or whatever, and roll from there.
Right. Exactly what I do.
Because that would be cool to do a whole gig in an instant.
Yeah, one day. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. I've also done some where I scan the negatives, so that's kind of cool, too. So maybe one day I'll find a crazy client. I'll have to do an engagement session that way.
Yeah, or maybe if you can find a buddy that's shooting a gig, go along and shoot second or third and just shoot Polaroid. The Fuji stuff rocks, and too bad the Polaroid stuff's gone, and you never know if something will come back there. But the Fuji stuff is really incredible, especially the 3000B with these cameras we have. These 600 SEs and Mamiya Universals and whatever, they don't have really fast glass on them.
Right.
So the 3000B is very, I think, appropriate for these on-location gigs, and it just has such cool tonality in the grain, and it's just a fun deal.
Yeah, I've been really, really impressed with it. So I played with all the different types, and I just was having too many problems. I would need a tripod for every shot because I'm shooting at sunset or something, and so I just decided I'd shoot the 3000 black and white, and I've been really, really happy with that.
So, Neil, tell me, with your film photography, are you digging the square format more than the 6.45?
Well, when I shot film originally, it was all Hasselblad and then Canon 35mm at the reception or something. So I really love square, and I'm borrowing a Hasselblad from a friend's dad that I'm going to have to break down and buy from him because I've had it for so long. But I do love squares. It's neat not to have to think in terms of vertical and horizontal. It's neat just to shoot it and worry about that later. So I do like the Hasselblad. It's a lot of fun. But obviously, it is a business, and so I can get more frames with the Mamiya, and so there's a certain cost savings in that regard that is kind of nice, too. So I think everything has its place, but I'm sure the Mamiya will be the primary camera for medium format, and the Hasselblad will show up for certain special things.
Now, the Mamiya, didn't they make an 81.8 for that camera?
A 1.9.
A 1.9.
And trust me, I've lost a few of those on eBay already, but I'm trying to find one. I have a couple of the manual focus lenses for my 645A. I'm trying to decide which lenses I want to invest in autofocus, because I've gotten 150mm f4 for $50 and a 55mm 2.8 for $25. And so I have those sort of play around with and decide if that's a focal length I think I would use, and then drop the money on the autofocus version.
Now, you have the AF, the AF 2, 3, which one?
Original AF.
Do you find that the autofocus is fast enough to actually do what you need to do when you're shooting?
Yeah, because with that, I'm doing a lot more posed work. It's funny. As much as I fight it, I have this very sort of traditional part of my personality and my work. So I do a fair bit of posed work, and so I'm in one place there, and I'm popping off several frames at one time. So the autofocus really isn't an issue when I'm getting into situations where I need to move more quickly, then I would switch to 35 millimeter. But it really hasn't been an issue. I worried about that, but it's been fine.
So, Neil, are you finding that clients are finding you because you're shooting film again? Are they just finding you because they like your work? What do you find that, besides the ease of workflow and the look, and basically you have to do nothing when you get the stuff back from the lab, are you finding any other benefits that people are finding you and saying, hey, this guy shoots film, man?
It's made me much more popular amongst my photography friends. Everybody's interested in what I'm doing. They're either terrified that I'm going to be homeless or they're thrilled to death and want to come along. The clients, I'm still early on in the transition. I have some people who are very interested in what I'm doing. I had one recent client that I had booked a year before, but when I had my last meeting with her before her wedding, she's like, please shoot all the film you can. I just love what you're doing. So I think they are starting to see the difference. And right now I have some clients that just absolutely think it's amazing, and I have plenty of clients that probably could care less what I shoot so long as they like their pictures of themselves. So it's been fun, and I decided a long time ago that I didn't do this because it was the easiest way to make a living. I did it because it fulfilled me and I enjoyed it, and this is another part of that. I will find the clients that want it and are willing to pay for it, and I'll be happy, and that's all that matters. It'll be a little more work probably, but that's okay.
No, I think it is. Now, how much do you have to do when you get your stuff back from the lab?
Well, I use Richard.
Yep.
So I get it back and it's done. I mean, I might crop it or straighten it, and I did some teeth whitening on some stuff recently, but I'm not doing anything to fix what they've done. I'm doing stuff that I screwed up when I took it.
So, basically, no Photoshop work, except maybe, like you said, skew it, rotate it, maybe correction that. What are you going to do when you're on the run shooting a wedding? Sometimes you need to fix things, but nevertheless, you're not going in there having to do levels and contrast mask adjustments and all this other garbage.
No. I'm absolutely blown away. I get it back. It's gorgeous. I can go with it. And I feel like I've gotten years back on my life.
Wow. Now, what are you having them scan this on? Are you having them scan it on the Noritsu or the Fuji scanner?
I'm all about the Noritsu.
Really?
Yeah, I had them done both ways. Bill Pine said, well, let's look and see what you prefer. Had them scan both ways. And I'd rather color correct than dust spot. So I'm all about the Noritsu. It's amazing. I love it. Also, when I looked at the same negative scanned both ways, the Noritsu was much sharper, and which, yes, shows off flaws in people's skin, but at the same time, I like that good, sharp scan that is free of dust, and then if I need to soften someone's skin for some reason, I can always take care of that later.
This is true. The Noritsu makes a muddy black, but you can fix that really easy with the levels adjustment in like 2 seconds.
Right.
Some people like the Fuji. Look at Jonathan Canlis and Jose and a couple other cats. They dig the Fuji scan, but that's part of their euphoric look they're going after.
Right, and like I said, I had gotten where I like things a little poppier, and the film definitely has taken me away from that some, but I guess there's still little aspects of that look that I still prefer. So I do want something that's pretty sharp and is pretty neutral, and I've just been really happy. When I saw them both ways, there was no question to me that the Noritsu was the right way to go for me.
How have you found shooting film now with the cost of film and lab work? How's this affected business-wise versus your free time versus the whole thing?
So it's definitely more expensive, no question, and I'm getting ready to revamp all my pricing. I'm in that unfortunate place where I'm doing it at weddings but not really getting paid for it, but I'm saving so much time afterwards that it's okay. So I'm getting ready to revamp all my pricing to build those costs in, but it's nice. I mean, the equipment, I thankfully figured out that I wanted to do this right before I decided I wanted to buy a 5D Mark II. So I would have spent $3,000 on a new camera, and I mean, a Mamiya 645 cost me $500. I mean, you save in some places, you give it back in others. I don't have to buy a new computer every 2 years because JPEG files are pretty easy to move around. But if I bought a 5D Mark II and needed a 21 megapixel sensor with RAW files, then I'd be buying a new computer in 6 months. So.
Well, you could be buying Adobe Photoshop CS5 here for $2,500 coming up.
Yeah, and I probably will. It's sad. There's some parts of that that just die hard, and I'm so excited about CS5, and I haven't pre-ordered yet, but I'm sure I will this week. It's a sickness.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. It's always cool to have the latest stuff. I mean, look at what's moving here in digital imaging. If you look at CS5, we have this content aware. You can just chop out someone's head out of a picture or their whole body, and CS5 fills it in.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to the point to where, I don't know, maybe we can just train chimpanzees or some other kind of pack animal to take pictures and we can just fix it on Photoshop. Why even go?
Well, and I feel bad for people who've never shot film. I feel bad for people who didn't learn it that way. It's funny when I tell people I'm doing it, they're like, aren't you worried that you don't have the picture? I mean, I'd shot weddings for years on film. I've shot hundreds and hundreds of rolls, if not thousands of rolls, and it's just never been a problem. I remember one time I had a light seal on a Hasselblad back end up in front of the film. And yeah, I had to crop all that out, but it was fine. I've never had that major catastrophe that everybody worries about. And so it's there, and I know, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't think about it. And I feel sad for people who don't have that confidence and haven't had to learn it that way. I think digital is great because it gets people into it, and it is a much quicker learning curve. But at the same time, I think that there's a certain part of people's education that they miss because they didn't have that opportunity to shoot on film. A lot of my friends that either have never shot film professionally or have only shot film a couple roles are very excited about seeing what I'm doing. And some of my friends have been buying film cameras so they can play along. It's kind of neat. I think it's excited a lot of people that I know to start experimenting again.
No, I mean, it's fun stuff. So what do you like to shoot here, Neil, when it comes to emulsion? What are you digging for film?
So right now it's Fuji 400H primarily. Thank God they didn't discontinue that. Black and white, I really love grainy black and white. I was trying to fake that when I was shooting digital. I love that. So Neopan 1600 black and white from Fuji or Ilford 3200. I think I'm liking the 1600 better. I'm still deciding on that. But Fuji color almost exclusively. Every once in a while I'll have a roll of Kodak that I got somehow that I'll shoot and just to play around. And that's nice too. I don't know that there's really a bad option, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, there's so much variance and you can do so many things that, like you said, there's not really a bad option. Everybody's film pretty much rocks.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff out there, and I haven't, but I've got to order some of that fun stuff that they make in the Czech Republic or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
It'd be like 1950s black and white emulsions. I want to try some of that.
Yeah, like shooting Pan-X or something. It's slow, but you got some pretty good fast class with the Mamiya, yeah. So it's cool stuff. That's what's great about film is there's just so many options, especially black and white. I see you've been playing around with some Neopan 1600, and the stuff looks great.
Thank you. I think that's probably going to end up being the high-speed black and white film of choice for me. From everything I've shot, I like the grain in that the best, and it's fast enough, and I can always push it if I need to, so I really like it.
Are you looking to play with your own stuff coming up, souping your own film, any of that type?
That's something I'm really wanting to do. The house I live in now has a basement, which I'd always wanted. Back when I shot film, I always wanted a basement so I could have a dark room, and I haven't gotten there yet, but people have been giving me random weird things, so I actually have an enlarger and some dark room stuff, and I will eventually. I'm kind of into the idea of the Cathinol C, trying to develop that way. I think that would be kind of a fun idea to play with. So I will do some just for personal stuff, but for work, it's just so nice to send it to Richard and let them do it for me.
It is. But like you said, sometimes playing with this black and white, but then you got to scan it yourself and blah, blah. So
yeah.
Six of one, half dozen of something.
Pretty much.
Exactly. So what are the stuff you're looking forward to here in your analog photography moving forward? Any other gear, any other look you're trying to achieve? Something that you're not been able to pull off now, or are you just so happy with everything? It's great as it is.
No, I mean, it's a constant learning process. I tell people, if you're completely happy, you're doing something wrong. I think if you're creative, you're always trying to push it and trying to find that next thing that you can do. This year, I'm transitioning my wedding business to film. Next year, I'm going to transition my portrait business back to film. I know that's just going to be such a godsend to have my life back and not be behind a computer. And also to have that as a unique proposition for people. Because in my area, no one's really doing it. There's a Brian Johnson in Birmingham. He's actually been to Macon a couple of times the last couple of years to shoot weddings for clients that wanted films. I think it's going to be kind of nice that I have that to offer now. But gear-wise, I fight that every day. I do. I'm a gearhead, and I love it. And I'm always trying to keep myself from buying something else.
It's hard to stay away from gear acquisition syndrome. GAS is a bad disease.
It's an awful thing. And the only good thing is, thankfully, that the film stuff's so much cheaper. KEH is in Atlanta, so ground shipping gets it here in a day, and that is probably a bad thing, too. But I can get almost anything I want pretty quickly and pretty reasonably priced, too.
So true. And like you said, I think that's another great thing about analog captures. Like you said, you can get some really cool rigs that were immensely expensive when they came out for a very, very good deal.
I mean, you know, my Mamiya, I think, was $4,000 or something brand new. So yeah. To pay $500 for it.
No, it's a great deal. So let's do this here, Neil. Tell me where people can look at your photography. You have, of course, your new blog that is about your film work. Tell me where they can look at what you're up to here, buddy, because this is great work.
Thank you. My regular website is inwardstudio.com, inwardstudio.com, and that's all digital work from the last several years. And then my film work right now is all on neilsrewind.blogspot.com, and that will eventually transition into a new wedding website for all film stuff.
Yeah, this is great stuff, and I do appreciate it. Great to feature you on the program, and I'm glad people are going to get to see your work and check out what you're doing, because you're doing some great stuff. All the instant film is beautiful. I mean, you're just shooting some really cool stuff. I hope people get a chance to look and enjoy your work, and I do appreciate you joining us today. This is cool stuff, buddy.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Well, there you go. Neil Carpenter, what a great guy. Beautiful photography. What a cool story. Definitely check out Neil's website over at www.inwardstudio. That's InwardStudio.com. InwardStudio.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.FujifilmUSA.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And, of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.